Hello.
It's Brett Smith.
Hey, what's going on?
So I'm recording right now. Brett Smith, and you're not going to believe this, but this is episode 200 of Highway Diary. Isn't that unbelievable?
Wow. Thanks for having me on.
This is your third visit. The first time we met in the middle of California one time at a cheesecake, at a cheesesteak shop. Since then,
yeah.
We've been just talking on the phone. I don't want you to, you know, drive 4 hours again, you know. That was fun the first time, but, you know, it's a little easier on the phone. But anyway, welcome to Highway Diary. This is episode...
Yeah, whatever works.
Episode 200 with my guest for the third time, the director of the greatest 9/11 truth documentary of all time, Hypothesis, Brett Smith. How do you do?
Oh, you're too kind. Thanks for having me again.
Well, we... I love conspiracies, right? You know, there's always something new going on. There's always something bubbling up. You know, I was watching a city bus just today, drove by, and it had this giant billboard for this movie called Skyscraper with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
FBI, show me your hands! You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Just a little nervous.
Well, you look very handsome.
I just don't want to screw it up, you know?
You have been preparing for this meeting for 6 months. You've got this.
Let me ask you guys a question. Daddy loves who?
Me.
Daddy loves who?
Me!
Exactly. Daddy's gonna go make that bacon.
Gross.
Mr. Sawyer, is your family enjoying their stay?
Very much so. They're shocked you gave us the entire floor.
After your security assessment, what do you think of the building?
With all due respect, he's a glorified security guard.
Please.
The Pearl is the tallest, most advanced building in the world. You've built a vertical city, but you've brought with it every single safety and security challenge that I could think of.
We thought this floor was empty.
So did I.
Not only have you brought them all indoors, but you've trapped them 240 floors in the air. No one really knows what would happen if things go wrong. But I'm just a glorified security guard, so what the hell do I know anyway? What's going on?
The 96th floor is on fire.
You're gonna be just fine, I promise you that.
No!
Daddy!
Tell me, how much do you love your family?
And I started thinking about you, so I watched the trailer, and, I'm sure you've watched the trailer. What's your reaction to this movie?
Wow, interesting. Die Hard came to mind, and then I wanted to watch Die Hard, but I thought it was interesting. It kind of reminded me of The Towering Inferno. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, that's like from the 1960s. So what was...
Yeah.
Is that the same thing? Towers are coming down?
Something like that. There's at least a fire in a building. I know that much. But, yeah. If you put anything with The Rock, it makes it that much better, right?
He's going to run for president in 2020. We've got to keep an eye on this guy.
I heard that. Are we just running personalities now? Like, this will be good for his campaign, I suppose, though.
Yeah, you know, it's like Schwarzenegger. When Schwarzenegger was running for governor, he put out Terminator 3 ahead of time, right? To make everybody go like, oh, this is the Terminator. You know, he should be the governor. And it worked.
That's right. He can grow the biceps the same size as the second movie again. So why not, you know?
So do you when you think about this movie, Skyscraper, do you think about 9/11 at all? Is there any kind of similar imagery going on?
I suppose that one could draw some similarity for sure. Yeah, it's interesting. I always wonder why they movies. Hello,
Brett.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Now I can hear you. Did you Did you hit a button with your cheek or something and turned off the?
Something happened. I must have dropped my phone one too many times. I'm sorry about that.
Or maybe they're trying to shut us down. They're trying to shut off free speech here. you know.
Maybe. We're kind of, I'm a boring person though, so I don't know why I'd be like shut down. Shoot.
Well, you made a documentary that makes the Illuminati scared. That's what's going on.
I suppose so. And the YouTube eating algorithm came after it. So I got to figure out what to do next.
Unbelievable.
But
you know who the Illuminati loves? A different guy called Dwayne Johnson, you know. And
we were talking about his re-election movie, huh?
Yeah. So do you think that he's like winking and nodding to the rulers of this earth that, hey, look, I'll bring up 9/11 imagery, you know, I'll re-traumatize the public for you. You know, for a long time, he was a wrestler who would, you know, go with whatever script Vince McMahon chose for him. He would go out there and be a carny and distract and manipulate the public. You know, that's the same job, actually, as the president. You know, you're not actually the guy making the decisions. You're the guy going out and saying, hey, listen, the creeps in the back wrote this script for me. Here's what's going on with America now. Like, that's actually the real job. So he really does have qualifications to be president, you know? I mean, what do you think?
When you put it that way, I could totally see it. It's just kind of a more advanced, you know, I always kind of thought the president might be the spokesperson for the corporation, you know?
Yeah. He's just the cuck of the system. He'll read whatever script, you know? He'll do whatever ritual. Yeah. You know, he'll get in the Scottish Rite building in a robe and they'll, like, heat up a candle and put it in his ass and worship Moloch. And he's like, yes, master, give me some more, you know? So they're like, look, we can use this guy. He'll do anything, you know?
Wow. I guess that's where the real party is.
Allegedly. Yeah. He's got a movie, Skyscraper, in my opinion. He's trying to re-traumatize Americans because it just brings up all this 9/11 imagery of kind of, maybe he's trying to rally the troops around this thing. We've been attacked. You know? It does look like he's double-crossed. It looks like, I don't know what the plot is. I'm just going by the trailer. But it looks like he's an agent and then like some kind of, you know, government agent. And then other government agents are shooting at him. So it's like double jeopardy gone wrong. And like if you look at 9/11, it's like, you know, a country attacking itself to scare the people to go to war. So, maybe if you actually watch that movie, if you watch that movie, there's some, you know, maybe some, you know, kind of clues as to how shit really works.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's got to be something in there if it's already that evocative of that imagery, like you were saying.
Did you see Dwayne Johnson on Saturday Night Live a year ago?
Yeah, I believe so.
You know what sketch I'm talking about? There was a weird sketch on that, right?
That's right. Are you talking about the most evil machine?
Yeah.
It is time for the Mad Scientist Society's annual most evil invention in the world contest. Yes, esteemed evildoers. You have had all year to work in your secret laboratories on an evil invention that will shock the entire world with its dastardly design.
Invention. And then Dwayne comes out in this, like, kind of blonde Nazi haircut, and he unveils a child-molesting robot.
My name is Roy, and and for the most evil invention in the world contest, I invented a child-molesting robot.
Pardon, what?
I'm sorry. I'll speak up. It's a robot that is designed to molest children. And I call it Robo Chomo. You see, it's powered by solar rechargeable fuel cells, and it costs pennies to manufacture. And it can, theoretically, molest twice as many children as a human molester in, quite frankly, half the time. Do I win the contest? It seems like I win. Seems like I win.
Oh, my God.
And then the whole thing turns out to be like a White Castle ad. I thought that was bizarre. Did you see that part?
Yeah, I do. It's like the kids, look, we chop up the kids and they're in the hamburger meat. Wink, wink, White Castle.
Oh my God. Do they realize what they're like subliminally putting out there?
I think that they're intentionally putting it out there. I don't think they have a lot of accidents, the Illuminati, you know? There was a different interview that I watched recently. This interview where he's just joking around and they're like, hey, Dwayne, how do you stay so young? How do you stay so fit?
I eat children. How old are you?
12.
Oh, okay. Only to 10.
Only
okay,
to that's 10. Good.
You're safe.
Yeah. That's good.
Children and pineapple.
Children and pineapple.
He must have been so deadpan joking, but didn't he say, like, he chopped up kids or something?
No, he says...
I'm trying to remember exactly.
They're like, oh, yeah. How do you stay so fit? And he goes, oh, I eat children. Mostly, I eat children and pineapple. And then he says to this kid, how old are you? And he's like, 12. He's like, oh, I just eat kids 10 and below. So, you know, the Rothschilds, if you look at the... So, I have so many things I want to talk about. I saw this Eyes Wide Shut documentary. And, you know, what happened with that movie is that Stanley Kubrick made this movie, Eyes Wide Shut, where this doctor finds himself, played by Tom Cruise, finds himself in this Illuminati party where they're chanting, they're all wearing robes, they're in a circle, there's a guy on a throne in the middle, and it's a satanic sex cult that he finds himself in the middle of. And the studio, when he screened the movie for them, apparently Stanley Kubrick was rushed into the back and the president of Warner Brothers yelled at him for 2 hours, and then 2 days later he was dead. Now, the thing about Stanley Kubrick that I learned is he had creative control. So, in his contract, it said that he's got the final cut of the movie. Well, there's a little loophole in that contract if you look at the details and you worship Satan. If you can make an argument, this film, well, he just screened a rough cut. He just screened a rough cut. So technically, it's still in the editing process. Oh, whoops, he died. Such a perfectionist. He has it in his contract that he gets the last cut. As soon as they see it, he's dead. They take over the movie because they're like, look, he's dead. He had creative control, but it was still being edited. They cut out 24 minutes. They put out the movie. That if you watch Eyes Wide Shut 2, it doesn't seem like it has an ending. It seems like it ends all weird, and it doesn't make sense at the end. Like, a lot of stuff was missing, you know? So it doesn't feel like a completed movie when I watch it. It seems interesting, and it seems like it's exposing a lot of real stuff. But anyway, have you seen Eyes Wide Shut? You know what I'm talking about, Brett?
I have, yeah. It's creepy, and I'll have to rewatch it with that in mind. Because, I'm a big Kubrick fan, so that sounds fascinating. I mean, I could see that 20 minute disappearing, you know, off the cutting room floor. So who knows where that ended up. I'd like to see that.
Maybe a little.
If it does exist.
Cannibalism, a little child sacrifice on an altar. You know,
that's freaky.
You know about
maybe not that part.
So Katy Perry put out a music video called do you watch all Katy Perry's music videos, Brett Smith? Are you every time one comes out, are you watching it?
I'm not as like up to date with Katy Perry or like Lady Gaga, but okay. I try to see a couple, maybe. I don't know.
That's understandable. Katy Perry came out with a music video and a song called Bon Appetit, and where she's laying on this on what can only be described as a feast table, and they're cutting her hair off. They're making it like she's the feast. And if you look at the parties held by this lady called Maria Abramovich, I think she took over the OTO from Aleister Crowley. You know, she was having a lot of celebrity gala parties where a lot of celebrities would come by. And what would happen is there would be, like, humans, like, sitting in the middle of the table just so their head was above the table as though they were being served for dinner. Now, you know, they were just actors paid to sit in the middle of a table and look like a feast. But... you know, that's what she would charge, like $10,000 for celebrities to come into these weird things. And, like, you know, Will Ferrell would show up, Will Ferrell, and from Saturday Night Live, you know, would show up and, you know, to these weird mock cannibal. I don't know. There's something to this.
It's bizarre. And maybe it's that spirit cooking shit, too.
Yeah.
Like, sounds crazy.
You know, she would do spirit cooking. She would throw blood all over her walls and do these rituals to try to cook up the spirits. You know, blood is involved. So Pizzagate had all this language. And John Podesta in his emails would say weird things like walnut sauce. He referred to walnut sauce. Now, I did some research on this, and that's cannibal talk for brain soup. Like a walnut looks like a brain. That's brain soup. And there's, you know, in John Podesta's emails, he's talking about walnut sauce recipes. He's also, there was one email where he's like, oh yeah, the kids are going to be in the hot tub for sure. Like, he just kind of, it was really creepy.
Wow, creepy.
You know, another person who had total creative control over his show is Anthony Bourdain, you know? And he had suicide recently where he was hanging from a doorknob with a red scarf. He was suicided, in my opinion, you know. What do you think about Anthony Bourdain? Did he seem like, you know, did you watch a lot of his shows?
I really enjoyed Anthony Bourdain. I think he'll be sorely missed, for sure. But I haven't looked at really a lot into his suicide, unfortunately, so I can't really comment on that. But, yeah, that sounds terrible, for sure.
You think he committed suicide, though?
As far as I know, I haven't, like, read up on it, though. Mm. I've been out of the loop, so to speak. What have you heard about it?
Well, I've heard that a lot of people, when you look at, throughout history, they hang themselves with a red scarf from a doorknob. I think that's CIA talk for they were killed.
That's scary. That's a scary idea.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that. Today I was reading that the MGM is suing the victims of the Harvest Festival. You know, there was a shooting in Las Vegas in 2017. Someone was shooting out of this 32nd floor during a harvest of music goers. 820 people died. They sued, a lot of these victims sued the MGM, and now they're suing them back. So the MGM is suing the victims of the Las Vegas shooting. To me, this is just like, this just makes me think about healthcare. It's like, if everyone had healthcare, would a hotel sue shooting victims? What the fuck, man? It's like, that's the only way to get just
crazy world.
Just basic healthcare. I was shot in the leg. MGM's like, I'm not going to pay for it. No, I'm going to sue you, motherfucker. You got blood on my lawn. You got blood on my carpets. We had to steam clean them, okay? We had the amount of security guards that is legally required for a hotel to have. We tried to ensure your safety in every way. We're suing you, motherfucker. That's what happened. That's the legal battle.
That's so messed up.
The 32nd floor.
MGM Resorts International is suing more than 1,000 victims and other survivors of last year's mass shooting in Las Vegas, claiming it has no liability for the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. MGM filed federal complaints in Nevada and California on Friday. Muhammad Aziz, a Houston attorney who said he represents about 1,400 survivors, told CBS News it's a sign of desperation from MGM. Stephen Paddock opened fire from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino.
Yeah, that's weird.
So the Army called me.
Why that floor?
The Army called me today.
Oh, go ahead.
Brett Smith, and they were trying to recruit me. Have you got a phone call from the Army trying to recruit you?
Not since high school, but you got one today?
Yeah.
Wow. What did they say?
Well, they told me that, you know, I could... I said I already had my master in screenwriting, you know, and they're like, have you paid those loans off? I was like, you dirty dog. How'd you know?
They went straight to the loans.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, wow, yeah. I haven't paid them off because I owe like $53,000. You know what I mean? That's a lot of That's a lot of change when you move out to L.A. and nobody cares that you got your master in screenwriting, you know? It's kind of tough to turn that degree into, like, liquid cash, you know what I mean? And pay off these loans, you know? I'm not like a cuck of the system like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I haven't been a carny for the U.S. government my whole life, you know? I'm not a bread and circus guy, you know what I mean?
Oh, man.
I'm one of these guys who would want creative control and eventually get assassinated, you know? So I'm walking a finer line, Brett Smith. But he calls
me... Yeah, it's hard to do that.
He calls me up, and I'm like, well, you know, I already have my degree. I'm 32. I got my degree in screenwriting. He's like, hey, you could work on the newspaper. The Army's got a great newspaper. We understand you're a college boy. You could just be like, edit the newspaper. We'll take care of your loans, you know? He was giving me the hard sell.
Wow.
But as long as I'm still, if I'm 33, I can still be recruited. As soon as I'm 34, they don't want me anymore. So.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm gonna record a stand-up special this September, you know. And if that doesn't go well, I think I'm going dark side. I think I'm just going to join the Army. And, you know, run their newspaper or something, you know? Maybe boot camp, I'll show them my liberal arts degree, and then, like, boot camp will be, like, way easier, you know? Because I'm, like, they'll know that I'm like, a wuss, you know?
Dang, and it'd be, like, writing propaganda for the arm of the military.
You know?
And then,
you know, if they gave me a movie deal.
Exactly. That's how you get in. Because then, like, well, you know how, didn't we talk about last time how if you want to have military stuff in your movie, like, the Pentagon has to approve the script.
Right.
If they'll, like, loan you the gear, you know? So they're, in a sense, like, kind of controlling, like, anyway. So, but, you know, yeah, if you had that leg in, you could get, like, a movie with, military hardware. Granted, they liked your script. You might have to be like a Michael Bay, but I don't know. It's an idea.
You know, I guess I'll just join the dark side full on. I'll just join the Army. I'll become a Freemason, and I'll just start eating walnut sauce and, you know, going to weird Maria Abramovich plays and pretending that she's talented and, you know what I mean?
I guess that's what you have to do to make it now.
Look, if I can at least make my own movie. All right, stab me afterward, but I'm going to show at least the executives who the best motherfucker is. They can kill me afterward. They can tie me to a red scarf and hang me from a doorknob. But let me give them the chance to show the evil dragon that I've seen it too, you know?
Yeah, that's, at least you can have that.
I want to look.
And I'll make sure that.
Yeah, I just want to look the cabal in their beady eyes and then show them my movie. That explains human cloning in an underground laboratory. I also wonder, like, if I go in the Army and I'm like, I know you're doing cloning. I know you guys worship Lucifer. I know you guys eat walnut sauce. You got pedos at Best of Pizza. I wrote the best movie. If, like, someone's going to be like, all right, what are you saying? You want in? You want in? You see us? You want in? Or if they're just going to be like, you know, just, you know, shoot me and throw me in a muddy puddle. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. You never know.
How do you get that deal? You know, it used to be Harvey Weinstein, you know, you would go over his house. He would, like, you know, he would just be like, oh, let me put on something more comfortable. He'd walk back out. He'd have boxers under a robe, right? But the boxers would be, like, loose-fitting, and, you know, maybe a ball would fall out. He's just testing you, you know? He's just testing you.
Oh, my God.
So at least there was, like, a linear path, though. You knew whose dick to suck. Like, now it's, like, a lot weirder, you know? It's a lot trickier. So how do you at least get in the room where you have the conversation where you can, you know, join the dark side, you know?
I don't know. I guess you gotta, like, first you gotta find the gross job of the hut, like Weinstein or something.
Yeah.
And, like, go through that. But... oh, man. Yeah. Who knows? It's just that job is thrown since he's been dethroned. That's what I'd like to know.
Since who's been dethroned? Oh, Harvey?
Oh, yeah. It's got to be, like, another, like, one in the works, I would imagine. I don't know.
Right. It's like, who signed his checks, you know? Just go higher up the ladder.
You know, somebody knew.
But, you know, like, maybe joining the Army is going to be like joining the WWE, you know? It's like the same... I could be the propagandist, you know, of the military, run their newspaper, you know, get slip a script in that way, and then, you know, get a meeting with top General Joseph Rothschild.
You just kind of have to, like, you probably couldn't have as much creative freedom as you wanted. It would have to be, you know, like, subservient to the order, but, you know, as long as you throw in some product placement or, like, disguise your clever insights, then maybe it'll slip by
yeah,
the radar.
That's my question. It's like, how well do I let on? Do I just keep my head down and keep putting out their propaganda, you know, but slowly, you know, collect evidence? Or, you know, at a certain point, you know, you're in double jeopardy. What if they say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to shoot you in the head, but you're going to wake up in a clone body, you know, and then you'll wake up in an underground laboratory and you'll work for us there, you know. But then they'll probably just shoot me in the head and get rid of me, you know what I mean? It's a tricky game.
Oh, man. That sounds so scary. I don't know what I'd do. Shit.
Well... You got a drone. We got to make this Sasquatch movie. So let's talk That's about right. something happier. You got
I would love to hunt some Sasquatch. That would be fun.
Yeah, you're kind of freelancing, getting footage for people, being a camera operator, right?
Yeah.
How can people get in touch with you for your services there? What kind of business you got? You got like a You're a freelance editor, freelance videographer.
Yeah, kind of all in one, I suppose. I guess the best way would be Facebook. I don't really have a Twitter set up yet or anything.
Nice.
But I'm working on it, slowly but surely.
Get in touch with Brett Smith. He's, you know, in Utah over there. If you need a camera guy to film a basketball game or anything... And if you want his resume, check out the movie Hypothesis, which you can get free on YouTube by Brett Smith. It shows a documentary about Dr. Stephen Jones collecting evidence about 9/11. It'll blow your mind. It's the best movie of its kind out there. So, do you want to... What do you think about Trump's presidency so far? You know, it's hard to... I'll just let you... have the floor a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't see a lot of swamp drainage, just a lot of swamp filling. More swampy. More Goldman Sachs.
Yeah. Is there a Goldman Sachs guy as the treasurer right now or something like that?
Yeah, I think they're kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
So nothing's really changed. I don't know. And we still have the same, like, I don't know, distraction, worry about this group and not the group that's actually screwing everybody over with their policies or whatever. So, anyway, I don't know. It's just kind of more of the same, I suppose.
Yeah. What do you think about...
We live in a crazy world, for sure.
What's the thing about Russia? Because it seems like CNN is going, Trump is with Russia! He's meeting with Putin! And then people are saying, this is treason. He's meeting with Russia and to discuss the emails or the collusion with Russia. I mean, if you read the Constitution, like colluding or in other words, speaking to another country, right? It's not like unconstitutional, you know, for them to get on the phone. Obviously, Putin and Trump were talking like during his campaign, you know? Putin has a whole intelligence apparatus, you know, where they're probably collecting all Hillary's emails too, all John Podesta's emails too. You know, they know what's going on. It seems like they could tell Trump, like, hey, you know, the Clintons are murdering people. You know, Maria Abramovich is having human sacrifice parties. Just in case you're interested, you know, the Clintons are going to these parties. Like, you know, you never know that they're trying to say all the late night shows are going, they're colluding. Oh, my God, Russian Putin and Trump, they're in love. But it's just like, you know, it's just so many layers of propaganda, so many layers of hidden information in these intelligence communities. It seems like that's what's going on. What do you think's going on?
Oh, man, who knows? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Right, so CNN is just saying that, you know, they're in bed together and it's treason. Hillary's saying she really won the election if it wasn't for meddling of those Russians, you know.
Everyone meddles. That's too funny.
Yeah.
There's too much meddling going on.
Right? You're meddling. No, you're meddling more. I caught you meddling with JFK Jr.'s airplane so that he wouldn't become Senator Hillary Clinton in 2000. Anyway, just allegedly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Isn't that ironic?
Anyway, oh my God, the humans are, they're looking at us. They've looked the lizard in the eye. Put out Dwayne Johnson in another movie. Go. He'll do anything I say. He has no morals.
I would love to see a movie with Dwayne running as himself. And, like, maybe Tom Cruise is the villain. I mean, he's, like, the leader of, like, an oil super PAC. I think that'd be, like, I don't know. That has some potential.
Just
some, like, action potential for sure.
Yeah. So, if the drain... You said something interesting. You know, Trump promised to drain the swamp, get rid of all these generational Illuminati bankers and all the corruption, and drain the swamp of all this corrupt DC pedo politicians. You know, drain the swamp. It seems like more of the same. What would a drained swamp look like? How do we know that, the deep state is dead? Like, what would that look like?
I don't know. If we're too corporate merged with government, corporation merged with government, if that makes any sense. So it would have to look less like a revolving door, I suppose. But I don't know what that would mean. Maybe a restructuring of everything.
Sounds like corporate fascism. It seems like we already have that.
Yeah, that's like where we're at. I often wonder, like, if our economy survives on war, you know, are we just always going to be at war then? Who knows?
Yeah, and that's why it's like, you know, if 9/11 truth tribunals started, you know, I think that's the way to know that the swamp's getting drained. You know, if people go down for planning 9/11 and perpetrating it on its own people for justification to go to war, I think that's when you know that the bad guys are going away. But it really is, you know, that's why your movie's so important, because it's like, once you understand just that, just the science behind 9/11 truth, it kind of makes everything possible, right?
Well, I'm glad you took it that way, for sure, because, I think once that's kind of unraveled, then, you know, who knows, maybe a lot of the barriers of, political separations and stuff would kind of go away as well. You would think that, but
yeah,
that might take a while, too.
And I just think Trump has to know. I saw back in 2002, 2003, Trump giving interviews that the tower should not have fallen like that, and he has access to the greatest architects in the world, you know, being a billionaire who makes buildings. You know, he has access to every structural engineering PhD he could get on the phone, you know, and pay and say, okay, what do you think happened here? You know, so that was the most disappointing thing, because I remember seeing that, and I remember thinking, oh, you know, they're going after him. But if he gets in there and says 9/11 was an inside job, like he had alluded to on news conferences, You know, news clips for Fox News and shit back in 2003, that would really change everything.
And I saw this huge explosion. I was with a group of people, and I really couldn't even believe it. And even, I think, worse than that, for years I've looked right directly at the building. I'd see the Empire State Building in the foreground and the World Trade Center in the background, and now I'm looking at absolutely nothing. It's just gone, and it's just hard to believe. Always had, as you know, very, very strong security, but there's very little you can do about planes crashing into a building. I mean, you look at Larry Silverstein, who's a terrific owner in New York and a very good friend of mine who I just called. I was very worried about him because I assume maybe he was in the building. He took possession of the building 1 week ago. As you know, he just bought the World Trade Center.
Right.
And he was in his office, and he was getting ready to move into the World Trade Center over the next 2 weeks. So it's a pretty tough situation.
Donald, you have one of the landmark buildings down in the financial district, 40 Wall Street. Did you have any damage, or did you know what's happened down there?
Well, it was an amazing phone call I made. 40 Wall Street actually was the second tallest building in downtown Manhattan, and it was actually before the World Trade Center was the tallest. And then when they built the World Trade Center, it became known as the second tallest, and now it's the tallest. And I just spoke to my people, and they said it's the most unbelievable sight. It's probably 7 or 8 blocks away from the World Trade Center, and yet Wall Street is littered with 2 feet of stone and brick and mortar and steel. And there are thousands of people walking over the debris over the Brooklyn Bridge, where they're sending them out over the Brooklyn Bridge to Brooklyn, and then I guess they're going to have to figure out how to get home from there. But they have between 1 foot and 2 feet of debris right in front of a building that's probably, you would say, Alan, 6 or 7 blocks away.
There's a great deal of question about whether or not the damage and the ultimate destruction of the buildings was caused by the airplanes, by architectural defect, or possibly by bombs or aftershocks. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it was an architectural defect. You know, the World Trade Center was always known as a very, very strong building. Don't forget, that took a big bomb in the basement. Now, the basement is the most vulnerable place because that's your foundation. And it withstood that. And I got to see that area about 3 or 4 days after it took place because one of my structural engineers actually took me for a tour because he did the building. And I said, I can't believe it. The building was standing solid, and half of the columns were blown out. I mean, so this was an unbelievably powerful building. If you know anything about structure, it was one of the first buildings that was built from the outside. The steel, the reason the World Trade Center had such narrow windows is that in between all the windows, you had the steel on the outside. So you had the steel on the outside of the building. That's why when I first looked, and you had big, heavy I-beams, when I first looked at it, I couldn't believe it because there was a hole in the steel. And this is steel that was, you remember the width of the windows in the World Trade Center, folks. I think, you know, if you were ever up there, they were quite narrow. And in between was this heavy steel. I said, how could a plane, even a 767 or a 747 or whatever it might have been, how could it possibly go through the steel? I happen to think that they had not only a plane, but they had bombs that exploded almost simultaneously, because I just can't imagine anything being able to go through that wall. Most buildings are built with the steel is on the inside around the elevator shaft. This one was built from the outside, which is the strongest structure you can have, and it was almost just like a can of soup.
Obviously, the war in Iraq was a big, fat mistake, all right? Now, you can take it any way you want, and it took Jeb Bush, if you remember, at the beginning of his announcement, when he announced for president, took him 5 days. He went back. It was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. Took him 5 days before his people told him what to say, and he ultimately said it was a mistake. The war in Iraq, we spent $2 trillion, thousands of lives. We don't even have it. Iran is taking over Iraq with the second largest oil reserves in the world. Obviously, it was a mistake.
So
George Bush made a mistake. We can make mistakes, but that one was a beauty. We should have never been in Iraq. We have destabilized the Middle East.
But you still think he should be impeached?
I think it's my turn, isn't it?
You do whatever you want. You call it whatever you want. I want to tell you, they lied.
Okay.
They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none, and they knew there were none. There were no weapons of mass destruction.
Okay. All right.
And when he said drain the swamp, I got hopeful. I could see through all the Clinton bullshit and the CNN propaganda machine. You can look through all that shit. You know, we have a shooter on the 32nd floor of a massive pyramid as seen on the back of the dollar bill with an all-seeing eye at the top of it. You know, like, some of the shit is just a ritual, like a ritual harvest, you know? So when you start to understand, like, what you're actually looking at, where the top-level Mason is a 32nd degree, very rarely you can get a 33rd degree Masonry in the Scottish Rite, you know? You're eligible to be recruited by the army when you're 33, but once you're 34, it's over. You know, the numerology of everything is a real big part of this kind of mystery religion, you know. That's why we have this earthquake disaster on 3-1-1, March 11th. You know, a tsunami hits Fukushima in 3-1-1. Or, you know, in 9-11, 9-1-1, you call 9-1-1 for help. You know, it's not a... These things aren't an accident. There's this whole world, this whole synchronicity family that watches all these numbers and tries to control the population with these methods. That's why you got Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who's doing an important... He's important for the cause of distracting the public by wrestling in spandex and, you know, being a fake character. He's distracting the public, eating cotton candy and popcorn while he flies through the air in spandex and grabs a microphone and uses potty language and walks off stage, you know. G-rated potty language, appropriate for all ages, so you can bring your dumb so you can bring your dumb kid to the thing and he'll never know what a real fight looks like.
enough language that advertisers won't pull too.
Yeah, right. So as long as the corporate advertisers that make Cheetos can keep pumping those cancer sticks out.
That's right.
Everything's fine.
I think you got it all figured out.
I'm just a little cheesed off, Brett Smith. I'll tell you why. I don't want to use G-rated potty language like that, but I'm really cheesed off, you know. I got this degree in screenwriting. Yeah. I got my master in screenwriting, you know, thinking like, hey, I'll earn my way into show business. And then I get out here to Los Angeles, and then I see the movies that are coming out. I see the symbolism. To me, it's all very confusing. I thought I could get this degree with my college t-shirt on and walk right into Warner Brothers and just ask for a blowjob. But, you know, apparently show business is way harder than that, you know? I gotta join a secret...
Yeah, it's too complicated.
Gotta join a secret society. Maybe I have to join the army and shoot people for them for 10 years before I get to hand a script to a general, you know?
Yeah, that could be the way in. Or we could, let's write a script together.
A Sasquatch movie?
Yeah, I'll think of one. That'd be good. That'd be good, like, well, that's already been done. Yeah. We'll have to talk.
Yeah. All right. We're just spitballing. Definitely
hunt. Yeah, yeah.
What if it was like, you know, a couple, you know, they live in Montana, a couple sexy 20-somethings, you know, like two couples, you know, they just go camping, you know?
Okay.
And, you know, Sasquatch things ensue. Maybe they come to a clearing of the woods. And they see all these Sasquatches wearing robes going, donde lo, da, da, donde lo. You know what I mean?
And they... Yeah. And there's like a Sasquatch owl statue.
Yeah.
Right in the middle.
And they put a rabbit on the fire, donde, and then a spaceship lands. And then these different Draco reptilian aliens come by. And then they're all doing this ritual together. But I need creative control. I need final cut.
You need it.
The studio's going to cut out 24 minutes and then murder us, though.
That's what they'll cut out, all that stuff you just said.
Yeah. But they'll keep the,
How are we going to get around that?
We got to go right to Amazon Prime. You know, we got to cut them out of it. We got to make it independent and then upload it ourselves to Amazon Prime.
That's right. I like this idea.
you know? If it's
on a drone, we can squatch hunt. Squatch hunting. So, I'm open to it, for sure.
Now, how far do we have to drive? Are there any Squatch sightings in Utah? Like, let's say, you know, we met up in the middle of the country. Where's the best place, you think? Alaska?
Yeah, probably. Somewhere in the Rocky Mountains, I'm sure.
Now, do you believe in Sasquatch, or... Because I really don't think that Sasquatch are real at all.
Yeah. I like the idea of hunting for one, for sure.
Yeah. But
there's got to be proof somewhere.
You know what is real is, like, a bear. Like, bears are real, and they really can, like, fuck you up, you know? Like, I don't know I don't know if I want to be camping, you know, where it just turns into the Grizzly Man documentary.
I was just going to bring that up. If Werner Herzog has to come out, that's probably a bad idea.
Yeah, and he's just listening to an audio tape of you getting gored. And he doesn't even show
that
the
phone. That would be horrible.
Yeah, right? So,
that had to be so brutal.
Ugh. That was a great movie, though, yeah. Grizzly Man. Check out Werner Herzog's Grizzly Man.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're still working on your degree, right? You're getting your MFA in filmmaking.
Yeah, yeah. I'm almost done. It takes a while.
Yeah, you're spreading it out because I know you're working too.
Yeah, that's always a challenge.
When do you think you're gonna graduate?
Who knows? Maybe at least a year.
Oh wow! Sometime 2019.
Well, I've got most of it done.
Like May 2019.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I tend to post, you know, stretch things out. So I got all kinds of projects, just kind of whatever.
Yeah. Well, I watched that. I saw that Skyscraper trailer, and I don't know. I really think that's what's going on. You know, at a certain level of Hollywood, they're trying to just, like, re-traumatize you from 9/11, kind of re-coalesce the masses into some kind of military society, you know, and just go, look, you know, terrorists can kill you in a tower, in a skyscraper. Let's get Dwayne The Rock Johnson to remind everybody of that, you know?
I know.
It's so
a
scary.
Reminder to update the fire code, for sure.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's a scary idea.
And it's such an evil world where, you know, all the victims of the shootings from Las Vegas massacre are being sued by MGM. It's like, that's where we're at now. The lawyers of a hotel are suing victims of a mass shooting. Like, honestly, like, I know that, like, lawyers, you know, like, sometimes you have, like, a murderer, right? And that murderer deserves a fair trial, right? So if you're the defense attorney of a murderer, you know, at a certain point, you have to know, like, well, I'm trying to get a murderer off of jail, right? But, like, you know, so I understand that there's, like, certain moral things that lawyers are tricky with. But, like, honestly, you're the fucking piece of shit lawyer that really does walk into a courtroom and put 1,000 pieces of paperwork down on a table suing every victim of the shooting. Like, you are a piece of shit. Like, it's too much. Then, I also read this article where those fucking MGM lawyers, you know, they're big muckety mucks in town, and they're judge shopping. They're shopping for judges, meaning they're going, you know, they have fancy hotels, they have resorts, they're taking judges out on Vegas Strip, Las Vegas, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, putting money in everyone's pocket. Hey, judge, hey, come over here. I love Vegas. You want free hookers? Anyway, listen, we photographed all of that. We have blackmail material on you. Now, you're going to see this case where we're suing all these victims, right? That is what's going on, okay? So the owners of the MGM Grand are, their lawyers are shopping for the right judges. you know, they're getting compromising photographs of them, probably. I'm making that part up. But they're definitely getting all the perks bestowed upon them that a that an owner of a hotel in Las Vegas can provide as they're suing the victims.
That's so scary. Wow. That's so scary.
MGM filed federal complaints in Nevada and California on Friday.
I don't have health care, Brett Smith. I got my master's degree. I got a 4.0, you know? I say that every podcast I have, but it took, 3 years to be able to say that. But it's like, I don't have health care. You know, this country kind of blows, you know? But
it's hard trying to make it. I guarantee it.
It's so weird. Like, you know, Canada yeah. has free healthcare. You talk to a Canadian, you know, they have to wait sometimes, but it's, like, really pretty awesome. At least you have access to a doctor, you know?
Yeah, I think we'd be like some of the other developed nations that have figured it out, you know, that they don't ever talk about. Denmark, Sweden.
Yeah.
You know, they've all kind of figured it out, but we want to pay, oh, man, did you hear about the baby that they took to intensive care, and they fed the baby and gave it a nap, and then they charged the parents like $18,000 for doing those two things.
Yeah.
So it's like we defend a system where you have to pay $18,000 for something like that, and we think it's the best. I don't get it.
Yeah, but it comes out to $18,000 because a lot of people don't have health care. And the hospital is stiffed with their bill. Then they have to, like, try right. to bill the government to recoup the finances of this homeless person that they just gave health care to. So then someone comes in with some routine, and, like, they make, oh, you had an IV? That's $300. Like, it costs, like, 50 cents to make a bag of IV, but the hospital charges the customer $300 from all the people that come in without health care coverage. So that the people that have any coverage, the hospital's trying to recoup to pay these doctors. You know, I hear a brain surgeon makes a lot of money every hour. So, like, you know, when you have to pay a brain surgeon, like, $8 million a year, you have to charge a customer $300 for an IV bag to balance the fucking books, you know?
It's kind of like the real drug dealing, I guess.
Yeah. Ugh. And it's just like,
yeah,
oh, your dad got laid off from a factory? Okay, well, now you're brain cancer. We don't care about it. You know, it's like, what? It's like a baby can have brain cancer, and because his dad got laid off from the factory he worked at, and all the manufacturing goes down to Mexico for cheaper, China for cheaper, then his kid gets sick, and then he doesn't have health care. Like, it's just like, man, it's just so cruel. There's so many homeless people in Los Angeles, too. It's like, can we just get free college, free healthcare, and then, like, have capitalism after that? You know what I mean? Just seems like... It's very cruel. So,
yeah, I think we could figure it out, but anyway.
I was living in New Orleans, and I don't know if you know this, but there's some loose women in New Orleans, you know? So I had these floozy girlfriends, you know? So, you know, I started having some itchiness around my penis, you know what I mean? It's like a year later, you know? And so I don't have health care. So I look around Los Angeles trying to find a place with a free STD test, you know? So I go to the LGBT center, the gay lesbian center, because they give free STD tests, you know? So I just wore some booty shorts. I put on a feather boa. I just tried to look cute, and, you know, I wore a belly shirt. Because I don't want no questions. Like, I want to walk into the LGBT center, like, hey! And they're like, right this way, sir. And I'm like, I need an AIDS test, you know? And they're like, okay. So, because they give out free STD tests, you know? So, anyway.
You got to go, like, undercover, basically? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Now, I think it's open to the public, but I just didn't want, you know what I mean? I didn't want any, I just wanted faster service, I guess, is what I'm saying. So I dressed up like a big gay guy, and I walked in. I kind of went like the leather man, you know? But I don't have chlamydia. I don't have gonorrhea, and I'm still waiting for AIDS and syphilis to get back. But, you know, that's what a guy has to do to get free healthcare in Los Angeles. I got to go down to West Hollywood in booty shorts.
Wow, you learn something new every day, and I was not aware of that. But that's so fascinating.
Just need basic health care, you know?
I mean, you got to do what you got to do, I suppose.
If things get really tough, I'm going to take out those booty shorts again and go down to Santa Monica Boulevard and just, you know, put my street meat up for hire, you know?
Man, LA's rough.
I showed up here, you know, trying to give Harvey Weinstein whatever he wanted, but he just got arrested, so it's like I don't even know what to do anymore. I don't know my way in.
I know, exactly. That's why I was thinking someone has to have, like, taken his spot somewhere.
Is it that evil? Is it that bad if I join the newspaper of the army? Is that really selling out? I mean, you know?
I don't know. It probably would be. It probably would be, just off my head.
Yeah.
But it'd be a very sacrificial thing to do, being 33. Very sacrificial number, right?
Right. So I have to sacrifice my life to the Orwellian system, you know, when I realize I can't pay back my student loans to Louisiana. Unbelievable.
I wonder, though, like, would you really be able to go to those, like, they live, you know, banquets and see the Draco reptilians? Like, because that would be pretty cool.
You know, I think I'm ready for it. I think I already know the kind of lizard face I would, you know what I mean? I wonder if they would want me, or if I would just be too critical of them, you know? I'd be like, you know, do you have to stab all these babies? Like, isn't it rude, you know? I might say something like that, and then I get kicked out of the place or something.
They need to hear it.
Yeah, just the opportunity to look the lizard in the eye. That's all I want in show business, you know?
Right.
Well, we're going in circles. We got a bleak picture of how it works, but, you know, if you get creative control, you get suicided. They shoot a heart attack gun at Stanley Kubrick's face as soon as they made him take 24 minutes out of his movie that exposed the cabal, you know.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Sad business.
Yes, you gotta make sacrifices.
Ugh. Anyway, nice catching up with you. This is episode 200 of Highway Diary with Brett Smith.
Yeah, thanks for calling me, man. That was a nice to hear from you, for sure.
Yeah, nice to hear from you, bud. We'll keep in touch. I'm aware of you. You know, if I, you know, get a meeting with the lizard, I get some cash, you know, let's go make that Sasquatch movie, make this happen.
I love it. We've got to collaborate somehow. So.
For sure.
All right. Thanks, man. It was good to hear.
All right. Bye-bye. That's another episode of Highway Motherfucking Diary.